Father, we come to you this morning as a people who truly are grateful and thankful, not only because you've brought us into a new day, not only because we have the opportunity to gather here and meet with one another, and more importantly, to meet with you, but because, Lord, we have the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. For you are our Savior, you are our Creator, and you are our Sustainer. And as we come this morning recognizing that we are a people in great need, we want to thank you first and foremost that you've met our greatest need, the forgiveness of our sin. And as we come this morning as a people who have been redeemed, bought back out of the slave market of sin, and brought into a new life in Christ, not because of any work that we have done, but all because of the finished work of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary. And Father, as we humble ourselves before you, we want to thank you for the joy that is in our hearts. For though you did not spare your Son, and that you gave your Son, such that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, we are so thankful for the obedience of God the Son, who came, and even though he is your equal, even though he is God, he did not consider it robbery to be who he is. And yet he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a man, and willingly went to the cross and died and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. But as we come on this, the Resurrection Sunday, we want to thank you for the joy in our hearts because we serve a risen Savior. You've not left him lain in the grave, you've raised him up. And as we look to that blessed day of the soon return of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness toward us, for your patience, your kindness, and your love. And as we now turn to the Scriptures, help us, Lord, to see just what it is that you have done for us, such that we would leave this place being changed a little bit more into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which we know is your will for each one of us. And so have your perfect way. And as we meet with you now, Lord, might your Holy Spirit work in our hearts and in our minds. And we'll give you thanks for the teaching that you will bring, for the encouragement that you will bring, and for the work that you will continue to do in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come this Easter morning to thank our Lord for all that he has done. And I'm taking us to a passage of Scripture which is in some quarters, seems to be most unusual given the fact that this is Easter. And shouldn't we be in the Gospels and shouldn't we be with the resurrection of Christ? Well, you will know if you've been coming for the past few weeks that I've purposely taken us into the book of Ruth. I've taken us into the book of Ruth for two reasons. The book of Ruth is a book whereby we are given great encouragement because we get to see how God, as we did in the book of Esther, we get to see how God continues to provide for his people. He knows what we have need of, and he brings great provision to the life of a woman called Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi, two widows who have been through great hardship. Naomi and her husband went down into the land of Moab, and then after the death of Naomi's husband Elimelech, and also the death of the husbands of Ruth and her other sister-in-law, we find that God not only provides for them, but he providentially draws them, protects them, places them where he can best minister to them. He takes circumstance in their lives and he moves it around for their good. That bears testimony to what God does in each one of our lives today. Because he testifies to us through the book of Romans, and particularly in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says to each one of us, He says, all things work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so even though we might be beset with problems and trials and tribulations, God can take all of those things in our lives and help us through them. And in helping us through them, he will bring about his purpose in our lives, whereby we would be growing in our love for him, growing in our knowledge of him. And not only growing in our love for him, growing in our love for one another. But the book of Ruth, not only is it a book whereby we get to see the providence and the provision that God brings to the lives of his child and treasure, but we also see that it's a book that speaks about redemption. Now, redemption is a big word, given that it's a theological term, but the Bible speaks of it often, and I want to simplify it for us. Redemption means this. It means that something is brought out of something for good. In other words, how many times have you or I found ourselves in a very difficult place? Perhaps there's been difficulty as regards our finances. Perhaps there's been difficulty as regards sickness. Perhaps there's been difficulties regards people who are angry at us. Perhaps there's, whatever the difficulty might be, sometimes that difficulty is so overwhelming that we just cry out and we look for someone to come and rescue us. Someone who will deliver us from the calamity that's in our lives. When that someone comes and delivers us out of the calamity that we find ourselves in, they are, in our eyes, our Redeemer. They have rescued us from a calamity. Now, in the book of Ruth, we have in Ruth chapter 3 an unfolding account of how Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth found themselves in a very difficult place. It wasn't easy to be a widow in Jerusalem at that time. In fact, they were in Bethlehem, just outside of Jerusalem. But there's something that unfolds. They meet a man, or Ruth meets a man, who is known as Boaz. And Boaz is the owner of the field, which we saw last week, into which Ruth has now come. It wasn't by chance that she ended up in the field of Boaz. That's the providence of God. That's where he moves things around and brings us to exactly where he wants us. And so she finds herself in the field of Boaz. And of course, as I said to us last week, let's never forget. A love for a man to a woman and a woman to a man is born first in the heart of God. That's why he brings us together. And as he begins to work in the life of Boaz, and as he begins to work in the life of Ruth, he brings these two together. And they begin to enjoy one another's company. We pick up that account now in Ruth chapter 3. But there's an interesting thing that's going to unfold. And I need to give us some background to it. Because Naomi now gives her daughter-in-law some instruction. And not only does Ruth find herself having to obey, or rather surrender to the instruction of Naomi, we find that Ruth also has to surrender to the goodness and kindness and instruction of Boaz. Now, I say this all by way of introduction because actually Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He isn't the Lord Jesus Christ, but through his actions and through all that he does for Ruth, there is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ there for us, and we have that same ministry given to us by our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's look at this story of redemption. Come with me to Ruth chapter 3, and let's begin at verses 1 through 5, because what we find here, we find first Ruth's surrender to Naomi's instruction. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, Shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. I want us to see a couple of things here as the story begins to unfold. Firstly, we see that Ruth is given instruction by her mother-in-law, Naomi. And it seems almost as if Naomi is kind of conniving here. She's trying to manipulate things. She's trying to work a plan, as it were. But actually, that's not the case. In order that we would understand correctly what's going on here, we need to go back and just remind ourselves about a term that God brings in His Word. It's a term which is called kinsman redeemer. Now, a kinsman redeemer is something that God gave to His people Israel. You see, in Leviticus chapter 25, God gives very clearly some instructions to the people of Israel. Remember, the people of Israel are His chosen people. They are His child and they are His treasure, and He wants the best for them. He's brought them into a land and He's given them the land, and He wants them to remain in the land. He wants them to possess the land. Now, we all know that life is difficult. And so even back in biblical antiquity, way back when the time of the Israelites were still settling in the land of Canaan, there was difficulty in their lives. Some would fall into financial difficulties. And therefore, the parcel of land that they had, they would find themselves having to sell it. And they would go and they would sell this land. And that land would then be the property of another. But God gives a specific instruction. He says at the end of every 50 years, every 50-year cycle, that land's got to be given back to the one who originally owns it. God had a purpose in that. He wanted His people to always be exactly where He had given them an inheritance. Now, it could be that 35 years into having to have sold the land, the person who had to sell the land was so desperate to have the land back. And there's no other way that they can have the land back other than someone who is a relative of theirs would step forward and would pay whatever amount of money was needed to get the land back. That person who stepped forward, that relative of the one who wanted the land back, they would be called the kinsman redeemer. Quite an interesting term. And what Naomi is saying is she's saying to Ruth, now Ruth, it's time for you to recognize that Boaz is a relative of yours. We are widows, and here is an opportunity. According to God's word, you can go and approach this man and ask him to be your kinsman redeemer. But she tells her to do something, and I don't want us to miss this because it's a beautiful picture. She says here in, I think it's verse 3, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. That's a wonderful instruction that Naomi gives to Ruth. And here's why. Ruth, up to this time, remember, she's a widow. And so therefore, up to this time, she's been wearing widow's garments. She's been wearing, for want of a better description, that black dress and the black hood. And she's been going about her day, and everyone knows she's a widow. Now the interesting thing is, Naomi says to her, you need to go and change. It's time to put away your past. It's time to put on new garments. It's time to wash yourself. It's time to anoint yourself. It's time to go and get a new life. That's a wonderful picture of you and I. There was a time when someone came to your life, I hope and I pray, as they did to my life. And they came and they sat with me and said, it's time for you to agree with God that you're a sinner. It's time for you to set your past behind. And it's time for you to turn in saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. That's exactly what Naomi is saying to Ruth. And it's exactly what God says to us today. You see, if we want to enter into a fellowship with God, we have to wash ourselves, we have to anoint ourselves, and we have to go to Him. As Ruth was given instruction, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and go down to the threshing floor, so too are we encouraged today, if we are yet to turn to Christ, to wash ourselves, anoint ourselves, and go down to the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing is, how do we wash ourselves? We can't. There's only one way that our sins can be washed away. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. How do we anoint ourselves? We can't. There is only one way we can be anointed, and that is when God comes to us and He pours out upon us His Holy Spirit. And He does that the very moment we turn to Him in saving faith and cry out to Him, Lord, save me. And how is it that we can go to a threshing floor? Ah, that's the wonderful invitation. God says to you and I, and to all who are our friends and family, He says to us, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. You see, what Naomi has told Ruth is something that the Lord is continuing to reach out to us and remind us about every day. We need to find ourselves being washed with the blood of Christ, being anointed with His Holy Spirit, which takes place in an instant and once in your life and forever once in your life. He'll never leave you. He'll never abandon you. And it happens at the moment that you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now let's see something else. Because as Ruth now goes down and she obeys her mother-in-law, she goes down and she does something. She goes to the threshing floor. Let's pick it up in verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did all according to that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. That word close relative is also kinsman redeemer. Now, it sounds a little bit difficult for us. We seem to think, oh, this is bordering on being immoral. How can a young woman go in and uncover his feet and put part of that which was covering his feet put over her? Just doesn't seem right. The thing is, folks, that's exactly how you ask someone to be your kinsman redeemer. In the Word of God, God says to His people time and time again, He says to them, come to me. I'll gather you under my wings. We saw that in Psalm 91 last week. He says, not only will I gather you under my wings, I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. Now, I want to share with you a beautiful picture. In many of the Jewish homes, even today, they would have a time of prayer. And that time of prayer would be led by the spiritual head of the home, who would be the husband or the father of the home. And the wonderful thing is, as he would gather people, and I'm talking about in biblical antiquity, as he would gather people to come and to spend a time of prayer, as he would lead his family in prayer, oftentimes what he would do is he would have himself covered with his shawl, his prayer shawl. But he would say to his children and say to his wife, "Come, sit with me under here." And he would take his prayer shawl and he would cover his children and he would cover his wife. It's a beautiful picture of what God does to you and I every day. We are his child and treasure. We are the one whom we are overshadowed by the Almighty. And he does that because we are the object of his love. We are the object of his absolute passion. He desires to restore us back into fellowship. Yet he knows we have fallen away from him. And he knows that we actually have made ourselves distant from him because of the sin in our lives. And so just as Naomi now comes to him and lays down at Boaz's feet and uncovers his feet and takes part of that cloth and puts it over her, what she's doing is she is saying, "I surrender to you. I acknowledge that I'm absolutely dependent upon you. I have no other that I can turn to." Isn't that a wonderful picture of what ought to be in our heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it time for us to say to the Lord, "I'm absolutely dependent upon you. I can't save myself. In fact, I can't even hope to live one day without you. So I cast all my cares upon you, Lord, because you care for me." That's a promise that he says to us in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now the wonderful thing happens here. Ruth says to Boaz, "You are my close relative." In other words, you are my kinsman redeemer. Now listen to what Boaz says. Verse 10, he says, "Now blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end, at the beginning, than at the beginning. And that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." You see, the words of Boaz are a wonderful encouragement to Ruth. It would have taken absolute courage and absolute faith to go and lie down at the feet of this man and show herself to be in surrender to him and plead with him to be her redeemer, the one who would buy her back out of her calamity. Now here's something else, and we often miss this. From the way in which Boaz speaks to Ruth, it's very clear he's been thinking about her. He says, "I am a close relative, but there is an even closer relative." Now that's a clue. We ought to be detectives today, and we ought to recognize he's been thinking of Ruth, and he's done some homework. And boy, he really does want to enter into a relationship with her. But there is one other that's closer. Again, that's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows us intimately. He knows us personally. After all, he is our Creator. And he has an affection toward us, and he wants us to come to him and to enjoy sweet fellowship with him. Now here's the thing. Boaz says, "I'll go and sort this out for you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, You lie here at my feet, and I'll take care of it as the Lord lives. Look what happens now in verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose off before one could recognize another. And then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Now what he's wanting to do, he's not trying to hide something here. The way that this is written, he wants it to be known amongst all the people, because he wasn't there by himself, that nothing improper happened. Okay? And also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And she held it. He measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. And as she went into the city, she came to her mother-in-law. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, and she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. I want to share with us something that's happening here. What's happened is Ruth has come, and she's met with Boaz, and she has asked Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. In other words, the one who would buy her from her calamity. And what was her calamity? Well, she had married into the home and family of Elimelech and Naomi. Naomi was a widow. Naomi's sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they had died, and that's why Ruth herself was a widow. Here's the thing. The family of Elimelech owned land in Bethlehem. But because of the fact that Naomi and her husband had gone down to Moab, they had lost everything, they had come back, now they were poor and they were destitute. The land was no longer theirs. And in order that they could eke out an existence, they had been forced to go into the fields of the people around and glean as the poor people did. But now, according to God's word, there was a way for Ruth and Naomi to be delivered. It's true for you and I. You and I are in a calamity. You and I are in a calamity because we cannot be saved from our sin. There is nothing that we can do to take away our sin. We can't go and become members of a church, and by becoming members of a church, have our sins swept away. We can't go and partake in confirmation classes, and by partaking in confirmation classes, be confirmed into the faith. That doesn't happen. God's word doesn't give any indication that that takes place. In fact, he says to us, we can only be saved by faith. It's not of works, lest any one of us should boast. For if we were to be able to have works that could commend us into the favor of God, there would be countless others who would be able to curry favor with God. But God has said, I save you by faith, not by works. Here's the thing, though. Because of the calamity that we're in, who can we ask to save us out of our sin? The only one who we can ask to save us out of our sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he is our kinsman redeemer. You say, but I'm not related to Christ. Ah, folks, here's the wonderful truth. The moment the Lord Jesus Christ set aside the glories of heaven and took upon himself the form of a man, he became our relative. He identified himself with us, and he stepped into time and space that he had created, and he stepped into the lineage of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David. And we're told in the word of God that truly we are all of one blood. And as the Lord Jesus Christ came, and in his humanity he identified himself with every one of us, Now I want to share with us something from the book of Leviticus. We don't have time to go there, but if we go and look at Leviticus chapter 25, we will see that there were three requirements for a kinsman redeemer. Three requirements had to be in place in order for someone to buy back another from a calamity. Those three things were, they had to be related. That's number one. Number two, the person who was related and who had the means to buy the other back out of the calamity, that person had to be willing to do that. And here's the third thing. The third thing was the one who was willing and the one who was a relative and could buy the one out of calamity, that person themselves were not allowed to have any similar judgment against them. So it's no good having a kinsman redeemer who had the means to buy back your land if he himself was already bonded in a debt. Here's the picture. The Lord Jesus Christ is related to us because he stepped in and he took on the form of a man. He is willing to do all that is required to buy us back out of the slave market of sin. He so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. And what's more, he is without sin. You see, I can't be redeemed. I can't be bought back. I can't be saved from any of my sin by anyone who is themselves a sinner. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, God testifies of his Son, he was without sin. Please turn with me to the book of Philippians. And come with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Beginning at verse 5 in Philippians chapter 2, we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, he identified himself with us and he became a man. He became our relative, our close relative. He testifies of himself in the Word of God. There is one who sticks closer than a brother, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He then also testifies that he was willing and able to give himself as a ransom for the payment of our sin. He says in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." In John chapter 10, verse 18, he goes on to say, "No one's going to take my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." See, the wonderful truth is, the Lord Jesus Christ came and became our relative, but the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come and pay the price. And what's more, he testifies and says he was without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 22 says, "He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." So just as Boaz is a kinsman redeemer to Ruth, the wonderful news for you and I today is that we have a kinsman redeemer. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this Easter is all about the story of redemption. It's about how God, who so loved us, came and died for us and paid the price for our sin. And not only has he paid the price for our sin, it is proven by the fact that he has not lain in the grave, he has risen from the dead. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's awaiting that day when he will come and take his church home. Now the wonderful thing about this is, just as Boaz said to Ruth, "Ruth, stay here until morning, and when the morning comes, I will do everything that you have asked." That's a little bit like what the Lord Jesus Christ has told us. It may seem to you that we are in the midst of a dark night, and it may seem to you that things are really difficult. But just as Boaz emptied into the apron of Ruth an abundant measure that would sustain her through until the morning came, so too is it true of the Lord Jesus Christ as he says to you and I, "I've never abandoned you. Everything that you have need of, I will give you, and I already have given you. And what's more, as you continue to wait for me, I'll provide for you." That's the picture that Boaz gives to Ruth, and it's the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I today. You see, it's a wonderful thing when we come to the Word of God and we get to see things like this. And as we come on this Easter morning with our hearts ringing with the truth that there is a risen Savior, we have a wonderful reminder for us. God loves us, and he has his eye upon us, and he's reaching out to us. Perhaps you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, and he's inviting you. He's saying to you, "Come to me, for I'll wash you of your sins. Come to me, and I, when I wash you of your sins, I will anoint you with my Holy Spirit. He will live within you. He will never leave you. He is the down payment that you are my child." And what's more, God promises, not only will we be washed, but our place is at the feet of Christ. It's time for us to come and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ implicitly. Perhaps for the first time, for the forgiveness of our sin. But if you're like me and you've already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it's time for us to renew and understand that though the night might be dark, day is coming, and he's coming. And in the meantime, he's given us an abundant measure. We'll have enough, not only for ourselves, but just as Ruth was able to go and share with her mother-in-law, we'll have stuff in abundance that we can share with others. So, we must be washed. The only place we can be washed is in the blood of Christ. We must be anointed. The only place that we can be anointed is with God's Holy Spirit. And our place is at his feet. And not only is our place at his feet, even though it might be night, day is coming, and he's given us a provision. I pray your hearts would be gladdened today as you realize and see just how God is at work in your lives, and how he's provided a deliverance for you from your calamity. So with hearts that are thankful, let us close in prayer. Lord, we do give you great thanks, for you have done an immeasurable good for us, even though, Lord, we were not deserving of it. And you've done this immeasurable good for us in that you have saved us from our sin, you have saved us from your wrath, and you have protected us and provided for us from that very day that we trusted in you and as our Lord and Savior to this day. And what's more, you have promised that you will continue to provide for us and protect us. And so even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death while we wait on your coming, you have promised nothing can snatch us from your hand. And as we come this morning with grateful and thankful heart that we serve a risen Savior, we are so thankful to have seen from your word that you are our kinsman redeemer. You are the one that has bought us back. You are the one that has set us upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. And you are the one that places us into the rock and covers us there with your hand. And so as a people on this Easter morning, with our hearts gladdened because of the fact that we can remember our Lord's death until he comes, and that he has not lain in the grave but risen, O Father, thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for your goodness and kindness once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.